That was a fun one. Hi, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there, and welcome to a Worlds Collide edition, as we're going to call these super shows now, because you might have noticed this is not your usual Just Three Gents or your usual cleanup group review, but worlds are colliding because of a certain basketball tournament happening in the Americas. AEW decided to throw Dynamite and Rampage on the same night.
So this is the Cleanup Gents podcast.
So this is the Just Three Gents Cleanup Crew Worlds Collide review of AEW Dynamite and AEW Rampage from Wednesday, March 20th, 2024.
Are we trying to do the Brady Bunch thing? Is that what we're trying to do?
You can tell it's going to be a long night.
Sorry.
I am the fearless leader who has to corral these children all the damn time.
Chose this.
I didn't choose you. I didn't choose this lifestyle. This lifestyle chose me. Thug life. Anyways, I am El Jefe himself, Mikey. I am corralling my children both inside and outside of my house. So that's fantastic. And on the internet, apparently. But I am joined by my Just Three Gents co-host and my cleanup crew co-host as well. So to get introductions out of the way, I'm going to start with my cleanup crew host first. You know him, you love him, you can catch him all over the Rampages with me. Adolfo Abuntado the Second, Nerdy Puerto Rican. Hi, my friend.
Saludos, programas. Hello, Mikey. Hello, Professor. Hello, JVL. We are here.
I wanted to introduce you first because on the screen we're both on top, and this is the first time for both of us.
Hey, stick
racing.
I feel
we love to see it. Yes. And we are transitioning said power, and I'm going to introduce my Just Three Gents co-host. See, I'm the middle of this sandwich because I am both on Rampage and Dynamite's review. But first and foremost, you can find him all over Dynamite, and you can see him review Ring of Honor with some of us boys as well. JBL, happy to have you. This is a Worlds Collide event, which is great.
I am enjoying being cleaned up with the Just Three Gents. It's very nice. I feel refreshed and ready to go on this big night.
We're about to get spiffy. And last but certainly not least, you can also find him reviewing Dynamite with JVL and I, but you can also see him alongside myself and sometimes Mini, sometimes Senior Lucha Don't. And starting this Sunday, our fourth co-host, which got announced earlier this week, the Professor. Hi.
Hi. I'm excited to be here. I've heard great things of Rampage and what you two do when we're not looking. So I'm excited to be here and we're trying to stay on task. You told me to stay on task before we started and you're already teasing me and getting me off task. So it's not working, Mikey. I got to streamline.
It's going to go off the rails immediately. I've just accepted it. It's going to be okay.
Can I move seats? The professor's distracting.
You can't not move seats. You're going to sit your little butt down there and you're going to like it.
Mr. Mikey.
Yeah, you made me rear on this ski team. This is not going to go well.
I am the caboose usually.
Anyways, so before we get out of hand.
Why are we on the bus?
Because I put you there where you belong. No,
oh, look at you. Oh, look at you.
Colonize that. No, just kidding. We're going to get in so much trouble. All right, let me do my housekeeping before we start proper. I want to get through this because we're going to be here for a little bit. So if you enjoyed this review, you can check out all the other stuff and shenanigans we've got going on at the BC WrestlePod YouTube channel. We do reviews for pay-per-views and weekly television shows, and we might potentially have some other content coming very, very soon. Super excited about that. It's going to be fantastic when computers want to work for us. But you know what? If you want to, see some other stuff or some out-of-context clips of all our reviews, check those out all over the social medias. You can follow us on the Instagram, the X, the Facebook, the Threads, the TikTok. We're pretty much anywhere and everywhere. And if you do not want to go to those social media sites separately, I got you. Because you can click the next level link in our bio, and it's a one-stop shop for all our social medias, as well as Venmo, PayPal, Patreon. Let's try to keep the lights on in this house. Like, don't be afraid to Cash App me, you guys. We also have a Cash App. We're trying to get paid up in this.
I thought Cash App was, I can't say it. You told me to behave. Keep going, Mikey. Keep going.
Moving on.
That's the After Hours podcast. But if you can't commit to watching our beautiful faces, you could take us with you on the go, because we have audio versions of all our reviews, which is a lot of work, but it is super fantastic now that I've streamlined it. And so you can listen to our shenanigans on the road, in the library, when you're taking care of business, both in person and on the porcelain throne. It is a fantastic time.
We are here and for your full pleasure.
Yes. And last but certainly not least, if you want to check us out live and in person, some of the BC WrestlePod boys are taking a road trip to the New Jersey Wrestling Show at, you know, New Jersey on Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. Over the last couple days, some more people have been added to who's going to be there. Luther, Maria Kanellis is going to be a fan. Well, I mean, y'all are great too, but I mean, Maria Kanellis Bennett. I mean, come on now. But Billy Starks and Abaddon, I'm also putting it out there. I'd be like, they take precedence over you guys. I'm sorry. Like, I'm just putting it out there. But now that we're done with housekeeping, let's just get into it. We have 3 hours of AEW programming to get through. Now we'd like to get out of here at a reasonable time, which means we're probably not going to, but let's just get this thing running and going. So AEW Dynamite, because
Dynamite
there.
Dynamite. Now with
Dynamite kicks off this week, the same way that we kicked off Big Business last week. Mercedes Moné comes into the ring and she cuts another promo. This time she focuses on, you know, she lets the audience know. She tells us that she had a potential career-ending, you know, injury during her time in New Japan against her match against Willow. Doctor said she was never going to wrestle again. But then she decided, you know what? No, we're going to see where this goes. And lo and behold, now she's here in AEW and she's grateful for it. And she's super excited to, you know, make some business happen in AEW. Then the lights hit. The lights come back on, and Julia Hart once again is staring down Mercedes, which allows Sky Blue to try but fail and attack from behind. But then it becomes a 2-on-1 situation where Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander come out for the save. So essentially, same thing that kind of happened last week on Dynamite. Only difference is, though, is that Willow almost went to the dark side because she had that chair in hand and she was ready to do some damage. Mercedes caught that and she argues with her. And then Mercedes just giving the death stare to Willow as she exits the ring and walks up the ramp. Gentlemen, how do we feel about Mercedes' promo and everything that happened subsequently afterwards?
I liked the women starting off the show and starting off strong for sure. I wanted a little more out of this promo, but I'm just kind of being nitpicky. I don't want to get too much into that. I don't know if we needed the whole recap prequel trailer for Mercedes Moné. I think if we're already here and we're a fan, we kind of know. I could go either way on that. I actually wanted to know more about her injury because I knew it was career ending and it was a career ending ankle injury. And I went, wow, that's must have been brutal, but I couldn't find too much about that. I think storytelling wise, this was fine. I think the crowd was behind her. Absolutely. That Toronto crowd for the whole night was in on everything. There were a few, and we'll talk about that when we get there. There were a few spots where it was like, are you out there? Are you listening? I felt they were way more fired up in Rampage, probably because that's post Edge and Christian murdering themselves. I thought this was a solid way to start. I don't know what was lacking for me. I'd have to go back and watch. I just wanted a little bit more, but I can't quite speak to that. I don't know what it is. Anyone else? Am I alone in that? Like, there was something missing. I don't quite know what it was.
I don't think it was so much that there was anything missing. I just think it could have been just a little bit shorter. You know, I like in the beginning when she came in and she kind of like repeated herself, you know, how like she's the CEO and she's not leading an evolution. She's leading a woman's revolution, right? I actually thought that the package was good. I mean, I remember Mercedes Moné, you know, as Sasha Banks as well, but, I'll say it.
No, what have you done? They'll come for you now.
But after, you know, after she left WWE, I didn't I wasn't as into wrestling, so you know, her time in New Japan and Stardom, I know nothing about. So I thought it was actually nice to see those clips of her in New Japan, in Stardom, and at the end, her going up against Willow and then being like carted off as Willow was, you know, holding the New Japan title. So that was that. But yeah, I don't think anything was missing. I just think it could have probably been a little shorter.
I wonder if they had switched it. I wonder if they had played the intro package and then she came out, as opposed to her walking out and being like, "Hi everyone, you might not have heard of me. Let me show you." It's like, well, you're already here. What? Well, as opposed to if they showed that leading into or some I don't know. Maybe
that might have actually worked out better if they did the video package and then she came out. You know.
Hey, John, what do you think?
JVL, hi.
I could say a lot of the same things that went on here. I'm with Adolfo on the package being necessary and the fact of, if you haven't seen how the beginnings of this Mercedes Moné character had been brought up in NJPW, like she's carried it through. Sure. It's a little different than what she did before, so it's nice to have that basis. I will agree, though, it's kind of redundant in what she's been doing in terms of the promo again, like bring Willow up, all that stuff. So there was kind of both on this. I will also say, kudos to her working in those heels against all those ladies.
Oh yeah,
and making it look flawless. But Mike, you did skip over. We did get the fireworks. We got Mercedes Moné, but we had the walk-ins first from Adam Copeland and Christian to start off the night. And then the biggest question of the evening for me: they're letting Okada drive in Canada? Does he have an international license? What do we know about this man that allows him to drive those cars in a foreign country? But either way, that was wonderful. The attack afterwards was fun. It was a good way to set up our promo later in the night. And we really, really, really want to see Willow take on Mercedes Moné now, especially after she, you know, somehow can take the title from Julia, we hope.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
We shall see what happens with that. I mean, just to give a little bit of insight, when I take my notes for this, I don't really take notes on the walk-ins. I was like, because that's a thing that happens, but it's not important enough for me to write the order of events. Let me just put it this way: AEW at least has a nice consistent order, whereas WWE, as Professor has been akin to, you know, we get an entrance, a bunch of backstage stuff, then the second entrance, and then the match starts
and a commercial
in between. It's fantastic. Oof. If you want to hear scathing reviews, you should watch our NXT review from last night, because, oh boy, Andrew, Will, and I went off.
Where can I get that license to drive like Okada in another foreign country? Come on.
But speaking of Okada, well,
my uncle has an international license. Apparently, it's not too.
We got to stay on track. Let's go. Okay. I got to edit this thing. We got to stay on track. Adolfo, you had something to add to as a final statement before moving on?
Private property technically doesn't need a driver's license. Thank you very much.
Is that true? Yeah. I could have been driving this whole time.
Yeah. Moving on.
Okada, who we were talking about.
Okada.
Yes. We shoot back to Alex Marvez, who is.
Why is he there? Sorry.
They need to hire us. They need to hire any one of us, man. Just dudes. So out of
place. We can tear this man to shreds, but let's talk about what we got with this. So Alex Marvez is backstage, and he's talking about how we're about to have this Continental Championship match between Okada and Eddie Kingston. And coming from the background, we see Okada and the EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, walk on up. Essentially, this is the same kind of promo we got last week from them. The only added caveat to this is like, Okada's about to go for a championship, and he's going to be great. And, you know, Matthew and Nicholas are going to be in gorilla position watching this and cheering him on. And boy, howdy, they were when we got to the end of the match, but we'll talk about that.
I do love the Duolingo drop. I will say that my streak is much larger than Matt's, so I'm proud of that. I kind of want to say, I don't know if they should do this, but if they just start dropping horrible Japanese, I don't know if that's going to go the way that they think it's going to go. You got to try a little bit. At least Don Callis sounds like he actually has the language underneath him when Don Callis says some things every now and then, like, oh, look at you. But I don't know. Kind of, sort of. It's better than Taz just going, hookagoda. Like, oh, Taz, what are you trying to do?
I mean, that is fair. That is fair. Yeah, you know, it was pretty much the same as last week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I feel like this segment, they gave Okada more time to talk.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoy him going off in Japanese and then switching to,
absolutely,
you know, English and just saying, you know, Eddie, I'm coming for you. You know, like, dude, it's so like 90s blood sport. I'm like, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. So,
so good.
Kumite. Kumite. Kumite.
Kumite.
Love Okada. EVPs are growing on me. Alex Marvez was a person that existed in this. Moving on.
You're not wrong.
We do get into our first match of the evening. This is for the AEW Continental Championship. Kazuchika Okada will be the challenger in this bit, taking on our King of the Bums champion, Eddie Kingston, for this one.
Kumite.
This was a...
Kumite.
Kumite. I personally thought this was a fantastic bout. Andrew had me laughing, one of our other hosts, during this whole thing, because he texted me. He's just like, what is hidden inside of Eddie Kingston's pants? Because those pants were interesting to look at, to say the least.
Yo, I like those pants. I liked his whole outfit, his whole ring gear. Which, speaking of ring gear, if you tune into the Biconics podcast on Sunday, we will be talking about ring gear.
Good save. Well,
I mean, I didn't most of us look for the Great O'Con, but that's beside the point, you know.
I didn't. Was Andrew was tracking something hidden within the clothing of Eddie Kingston? That's what Eddie. Okay. I wasn't aware.
Outside of that bit.
No, that's fine. You can do the Spinal Tap thing all you want. I thought this was a great match. I thought it was hard hitting at times. There's a few moments where I don't think they got lost, but they just sort of went, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? And then just rocked each other. Those chops breaking blood vessels is just scary to see. That does not happen to everyone, Eddie Chops, but that's terrifying. I thought this was a great match. I had a lot of fun watching it. I think that the thing that took me out of it was seeing Young Buck EVPs in the obviously pre-taped Tony Khan the cardboard thing. That kind of... Yeah, I was like, that's... Yeah, for Tony Khan. That jarred me because I was like, that's obviously not really happening right there. Hey, look at that. Did you see what he just did? Yeah, that's great. It's like, I hate you. Why do you do that?
Yeah.
Other than that...
They were trying, though. It's new.
They were trying. That's good.
Yeah.
Mikey, do you give your students a C+ for trying? Is that a math thing?
No, because if you don't show me the work behind it, you're going to get a zero. Like, no work, no credit.
Show me the work behind it.
Show me the work behind it. I agree that they're taking a risk, and I like seeing that them take a risk with trying something new, but like, you got to be... Don't be afraid to make mistakes and cut back live. Like, it's okay. I would rather have you cut back live than do picture in picture for matches, which we're going to get into, because the same issue I had with the rest of this week of what I watched on wrestling television happened again this week because I was irritated, bamboozled, and lied to because we got
lies.
We got picture in picture and matches that we didn't need picture in picture, and then matches that didn't have it should have gotten it. Looking at you, Chris Jericho Hook. We're going to talk about you later. Anyways.
JBL, go ahead. What do you got, bub?
Well, first off, talking of risks, I also really enjoyed Renee setting up that she had talked to him. It was like being a sideline reporter as Eddie's coming down. I thought it was a great kind of little thing to do there and break up the entrance and also make it kind of fun, which was nice.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. I love seeing Renee like it's a real sporting event. There was something to that sideline reporter thing that I thought was really cool. Please, continue. Yeah.
Gave it some stakes there. But yeah. I also enjoyed the strong style versions of like, all right, I'll hit you. Now you're going to hit me. And I'm going to stand here and take a minute. I'm going to hit you. But I also love the psychology of it with Okada using Eddie's momentum against him to beat him. It was a great way to take it down. And now that we've split the belts up, finally again, Eddie, unlike some other channels have said, will be falling down the card back to ROH. He's coming back to defend the title. It means something, not the one that has a 3-month lineage. They're hot potatoing. So thank you very much on that one.
Yeah. So if you didn't catch the ending, Okada did beat Kingston, and he is now your new Continental Champion, which I thought was very interesting that that they had, of all people, Okada win the Continental Championship. Now, don't get me wrong, he is super over right now.
Sure.
You know, and he, the audience loves him, you know, but I'm wondering how many, well, not like number one rankings, you know,
number two, extra belt on AEW.
Right. And number two, extra belt on AEW. And I get it that Okada is the EVP's boy. So that's I can understand that jiggling through the rankings thing. But something just doesn't sit right with me that Okada came in. I don't even feel like he's a month old in AEW.
I think it's 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. And
after Revolution.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he already has the title. It was a great match. And of all the Eddie Kingston matches I've seen, this one I actually enjoyed the most. So please do not think I'm downgrading the match. It was a great match, entertaining match. Like, Prof, like you said, just like big, now you want the blood vessels. And, you know, like it was cool. And, I definitely had they changed the title.
Yeah. There was a huge gear shift. Quite whiplash, but sort of wait, that just happened? Wait, yeah. Whoa, we're going where? Whoa. Yeah.
Another gear shift where he got scared early for what happened at the end of the match.
Sure. Right.
You know, you know.
And I thought the same thing. I was like, you've been here 3 weeks, you're over, sure. And we gotta keep moving, so I don't want to talk too long about this. But it's also, who else do you drop that to? Who else isn't tied up in other random plot lines and other things? And there's also a part of me that's, you had to fight in a tournament to get it, and then you can just arbitrarily lose it just because, like any other title. It's not a competition to get it. There's no bracket. There's no nothing. It's just, yep, here you go. Bye. So it's like, okay, well then do we do this classic again a year from now? And then whoever's there, but then you could just lose it whenever you want, or like, all right, bracket time. I don't know.
You have the final person holding it, have to vacate it right as the tournament comes up. It writes itself there.
I hope they do that. That would make a sense. But, you know, like we say around here, if it makes sense, they're not going to do it.
Very, very fair. I don't have an issue with Okada winning the title, to be personally honest, but we don't got a lot of time to go dissect into that. I am happy Okada won the title, because that means we get his first feud, because after the match, after the EVPs blow the pyro budget on, you know, the celebration for Okada with the fire and the pyro, out comes the busted Puck, who is, you know, just staring down Okada. We got the promo from last week that Puck is looking for trouble, and if Tony Khan doesn't give it to him, he's going to go find it. And boy, howdy, did he sure pick a good one to find trouble with, because it looks like we're going to be getting Okada and Puck, which I'm like throwing money at my screen. I'm like, give it to me now. Like, this is going to be a fantastic feud.
Please don't hurt each other. Please don't get injured again. Please, for the love of God.
Yeah, don't get injured, please. Like, every time we get close to these two connecting, one or both end up getting hurt.
Puck is so jacked. Like, yeah. I, oh, man. I forget how
he is a Welsh Mighty Mouse.
what was it? Was it the last Rampage before this one? That Alice watched the Pac match with me, and one of the first words out of her mouth was, "Did this man drink any water today? He's so ripped.
He's great. Dehydrated. Great
cheese on those abs."
Hair soaking wet, body devoid of fluids. Just
and she had comments about the hair too, but we'll save that for later.
I mean, he looks kind of like a mop.
Wow,
does look kind of
a mop who can kick our butt.
I know that mop would whip my ass, but it's still looks like follow the camera guy. Yeah.
But I'm excited for Pac and Okada. This is going to be a fun one, which then leads into Swerve Strickland giving us some piece of advice in this backstage promo. Basically, he's carrying around this chain now, and he's essentially just going to keep coming after Joe until he gets what he wants. And I'm like, I'm here for Swerve wanting to beat Joe every single second he gets. It's going to be fantastic.
And them teasing us every time that it's going to freaking happen.
Yep.
And then it doesn't happen.
No.
Yep. We'll talk about that when we get there.
He's just going to edge you every episode.
Give me joy.
But he does. He did put out an open challenge for the night. So, and you
heck of it.
Yep. And just really quick, I just want to touch on Swerve, and his mic ability is just fantastic. That's all I want to say.
Yep, fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Super fantastic. I love Swerve. And then I love what we got next. We are with the most dysfunctional family in AEW right now. We have Chris Statlander, Willow Nightingale, and Stu Lee Hathaway, as we have referred to him on Rampage, because that's what we have, Chris and Willow have. They're talking about hyping up that in the main event of Rampage, they're going to be involved in the street fight with Julia Hart and Sky Blue. I'm like, yes, another women's street fight as a main event Rampage. I'm here for it. It's going to be fantastic.
All of them.
It's going to be great. It's like Pokemon. Collect them all. Because then it got better because Mercedes walks in and she is nice to Chris. And then as well as like, hey, Mercedes, I want to pot. No, girl, you did what you did. We're done. Walks away. I'm like, fantastic.
I'm a big fan. Oh, she's gone.
Yeah, they also shot this promo on like the abandoned set of Die Hard. There's just metal scraps everywhere. Like nothing around them.
I fully expected Dalton Castle to pop out of there somewhere. Just
oh my gosh, yes.
Jeez, my boys.
They needed to just put him in promos, like in the background, just running past the camera, just in the distance, just doing something.
Or just standing there still. Voting.
Yeah. Just stand there and say nothing, just looking at the camera. Yeah, that happened too. Yep.
It did. It was a wonderful
It's
promo.
Like, what? You're building multiple women's storylines? That's crazy. And like AEW.
We talked about this on Dynamite last week where it's sort of, we wonder if that's part of the contract, right? Where it's sort of like, I will come work for you. You're pushing the women. I'm pushing the women. And she kind of alluded to that in the promo at the beginning of this. Like, it's time for women. It's time for this. And I hope it's true. And I really hope it's true.
Yeah. I was about to say, it feels like Mercedes Moné in the last, no, JVL?
This is the same amount of women's time we've had the last months. Nothing's changed
say that.
Except
no,
Mercedes Moné is on there. And it's all honestly because she didn't draw what they thought that she would draw last week. One's being patient and Tony Khan still hasn't pushed to the brink.
Right.
We need to get them on our screens much more.
We'll talk about it when we get there, but 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Yep, seven.
Disturbing. Anyway,
Karen.
So we move on from. We move on.
We just skip this.
No, we can no, skip this, no. We if I had this? To, no. Look, listen here, you Muppet.
I'm listening.
Are we doing a Muppet thing? I have a Muppet right here.
No, that would probably be more entertaining than what we had. But we as wrestling reviewers have journalistic integrity, and as much as we don't like what we're about to talk about, we still have to cover it because we are a review show. We don't have to spend too long on it, but we do have to talk about it. So this match was a thing. Hook versus Lionheart, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho almost killed Hook halfway through this match because he wasn't paying attention when he threw Hook, and I got nervous and scared. And I totally understand why Hook got a little more pressed after that matter. And he kind of was a little more vicious to Jericho for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I think the crowd was very mixed. If you listen to Jericho come down, there's equal parts cheers and equal parts blah, 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 like just not happy. Lots of down fingers, lots of signs that they cut away from rather quickly. And Jericho, I mean, we said this last week too. Jericho's obviously hearing the crowd response. He knows what the audience thinks of him right now. He heard this one. Like, you could see it on his face. You could see it in the way he's entering to the ring now. So he's very much in his head, and he's so in his head, it's affecting the matches. And I think Hook did a good job kind of powering through. I'm not sure who was calling for suplex after suplex after suplex.
I was about to say the suplex show.
This huge suplex show. One or two of those look like Chris Jericho fell right on his head. Like, oh my God.
Taz absolutely having a fit in the corner watching his son suplex everybody.
Right. Yeah. And Taz is equal parts excited, equal parts what's happening. I like Hook a lot. Hook's grown on me. This was such a strange match and storyline, and how we're trying to still use Chris Jericho without acknowledging anything. It's just freaking weird now. And Jericho.
I am happy that we are starting to get more Hook in matches.
Yeah.
I have spoken out in the past how I feel like he's underused, and how the FTW belt's just kind of like a, when it could actually be there, you know, the AEW roster has so much talent that FTW belt could be something, you know?
Sure.
So at least one where I'm, you know, for me, I'm getting one of the two, which is I'm seeing more Hook, which is making me happy. Yes, I agree with y'all. Like, why Chris Jericho? I would have much rathered and appreciated if they kept like the Brian Cage feud going, you know, because that could have been another feud that lasted a few, at least a month, 2 months, you know what I mean?
Adolfo just wants to see Wolverine on his screen more.
I mean, that too. 100%. There was a lot of sloppiness. The crowd was definitely not behind El Ocho,
whichever iteration you want to call
them. Yeah, Lionheart.
And some of these suplexes, I'm watching it right here. Some of these suplexes, Jericho is not jumping. It's all Hook just leaning back.
Yeah.
And like Jericho's kind of not helping him at all.
Yeah.
And he's taken that full brunt of that.
And obviously this deserved close to double of what the 7 minute match got. So, I mean, obviously this was well worth the time to sit and watch an old man get dumped on his head multiple times.
And him almost dumping Hook on its head a couple of times too, which was not great. Right. I will say I am happy that Hook came out at the winner of this, because if Jericho had won, I may have.
Oh no,
we may have lost Mikey.
Off my television at that point. I'm gonna be completely honest.
You're back, Mikey. You went into full Tron for a second.
I know.
Either way, with this, it was a crazy match to have in the middle of your card that didn't seem.
Chris
to
be Jericho good. Found out that.
Are we okay? Do we have you back, Mikey?
Are you back, Mikey? Mikey, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back. I don't want to talk about the next promo, but I just want to throw. Apparently now, Chris Jericho. This happened out of order. I'm going out of order, but I don't want to talk about it in the order that it happened. But Chris Jericho is back with Renee. And, you know, says that Hook impressed him, and now he has a problem.
When he was going.
Yes, I was like, holy crap, man. It was intense, but now Chris Jericho has a proposition for Hook, which I don't like on all sorts of levels. I'm like, just say no, Hook. It's okay. Say no. Say no. Don't enter the Chris Jericho black hole void. Like, don't. You beat him. Get out of there. Run for your life like a horror movie.
Yeah,
don't go back in the house.
Do anything else. Yeah.
Fine, Danhausen.
Seriously, I need more Hookhausen in my life. That was such a fun thing. I need you to use Danhausen more, and I want a reunited Hookhausen, which is great. So now that we got that out of the way, we get a pre-tape promo of Adam Cole, which had me perplexed. And he talks about how disappointed he was in Wardlow. But you know what? Wardlow has a chance to redeem himself by making sure that Roddy still walks out as international champion next week. And I'm like, Adam Cole, you do realize that the part, you know, being a champion means that you're going to need to defend that title. And I'm just like, oh, hello, MJF storyline with Wardlow 2.0. Like, this is the exact same story that we told with Wardlow and MJF. And so I'm like, okay, let's play some bets of how long it's going to take Wardlow to turn on the Undisputed Kingdom.
Yeah, it's kind of a meh promo. Adam Cole sitting in the same chair he was in a week ago with a different jacket. Disappointed in the same place they rented out of Boston to do this. I don't know. I like heel Adam Cole. These promos aren't hitting the last few weeks or so. JVL and I've kind of talked about that too. It's just sort of empty underneath for some reason. I'm not sure if it's all the actor terms. Are you fighting for something? Are you one partner? Are you this? Are you that? That I could go on and on and off about. There's something that's just boring about it. And I don't know if it's because it is sort of a, hey, Wardlow, you're in this faction. Bye. Like, and there's nothing underneath it. There's nothing to take personal. It's just funny to me, Adam Cole talking down to Wardlow. Like, he would rip your arms off. Like, I don't know. So,
I'm actually of the, I'm on the other side from that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I actually have enjoyed these Adam Cole promos. I got a good chuckle out of Adam Cole story time last week.
Sure.
I liked this promo and that he called out Wardlow. I think the reason why I liked it is because it is so different from the other promos that are getting cut where everyone's just like, and here you have Adam Cole. He's just sitting here. He's like, I am disappointed. Meh. You know what I mean? And he's showing a different side because he's like in the suit and all that. Very much like a boss, like a manipulator.
No, I agree. You know what I mean? It's just sometimes they hit and sometimes they're just totally not connected. Last week's we kind of got a chuckle out of for sure. We were picking on the fact that it was sort of, you're in a mansion with dollar store frames. Like, so there's elements of that for sure. And heel Adam Cole in person is pretty good, pretty solid. I think he's found a rhythm for that stuff when he's fighting for something. Some of these filmed ones, though, we've been seeing them on Dynamite a lot. We're sort of like, and is it good? No, you're not even connected. You're not even here. It's tough for me, but I do like that he's doing something different. I agree with you there. Like, hey, you're doing a different take on this thing. I don't. Something's missing for me from underneath it, and I don't know if that's just because Wardlow is a circle cube in the square peg, or if it's the whole Undisputed whatever we're doing thing that I'm kind of okay. Where are we at? No, I don't know.
It's almost like they wrote this entire thing to have Adam Cole and the Undisputed Kingdom together and not have Wardlow involved because, I don't know, Adam wouldn't have been injured and then they could have been their buddies like they were supposed to. But no, we've got to get a heavy for the group and let's pick the guy that gets packed around a lot and doesn't really talk that well and just is easily used by us. So that could be a good thing, right? We'll just set him up for failure again. Kind of nice.
And that is what we have to say about that.
Silence.
Because it's so true. We have a Rampage to get through because otherwise I would break this down more. But I'm a host. I'm hosting this thing, so I can't go on a tangent. We go back to the ring. Tony Schiavone is there. He brings out Will Ospreay, who cuts another fantastic promo, which was super fantastic. The important thing to remember here is if he does not make that into a t-shirt to sell, shame on Will Ospreay, because I will take that and I will sell it for
I
us.
Think they did.
Oh, they must have by now. Like they were chanting it so loud, he had to stop talking at one point to look at them and smile and go back to it. Like, he cut a great promo. They were juiced. I mean, he's dude's on fire. It's great.
To WWE right now, because that was half the reason they didn't take him was they didn't think he could cut a promo, and he's cut a promo every week. It's crazy.
And I have I was tickled pink when he was like, the last time I was here, I was a bit of a naughty boy. And Canada, I just want to apologize and let's all make up over some maple syrup. You know, like come on, that's like getting over 101. Come on, that was fantastic.
It was great. It was brilliant.
It was beautiful. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Also, everyone caught the sign in the background, lousy smarch weather.
It was so good. So fantastic. Again, lousy another great promo weather. From Ospreay. It speaks from the heart. He's so easy to get behind because he's literally a wrestling who's also a fan of wrestling and wrestlers, which is fantastic. And he reminded us that years ago, he had a match against a certain somebody. And thanks to Tony Khan, he's getting a rematch next week. So my mind was blown when we learned that next week we are getting Will Ospreay versus Katsuyori Shibata. And this is a reenacting of me on my couch when I watched it. I'm just like, full melted in my chair.
The suplex fest.
Yes. I was like, it's like, oh my gosh.
Is that a private party?
Anyway. I was going to say, you just went full private party.
That is going to be what I use every time. I'm just like, It's like, oh my gosh, is that private party?
I think all of us are going to be holding our breath that entire match, just watching these two work. Super grounded, super attack style versus aerial assassin moves everywhere. It's going to be crazy.
Bro, I held my breath when Danielson fought Katsuyori Shibata on Collision last week. And now you're going to do this to me with Will Ospreay and Shibata is like doing fantastic right now.
I gotta get out of my head, and we can talk about this in a different podcast, but matches like that, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited. Please don't get hurt.
Oh, that's me all the time.
I don't want to sound like that dad or that guy, but there's also part of me that's like, you are amazing and talented, and I can't wait for it to be violent and exciting. Please don't get hurt.
Yep.
Please don't be out for 2 years for something.
Because we want all these people to have longevity in their careers. And so it's okay. A lot of us are parents. I am not, but I am a person of a certain age where I want longevity. I want to continue to watch and enjoy you on my television screen and not have to cry when you come out and announce your retirement. I was already there. I was there when Danielson retired. I was there when, you know, Copeland retired. So, like, the first time around,
Both of them cried. Still wrestling.
Stem cells do wonders, man. I'm telling you.
In Germany, they spin your blood and they do the thing, and it's
perfect. I was there when Soraya retired. She got knocked in the back of the head by Mercedes Moné.
I was there when Shawn Michaels had two eyes.
And they both faced different directions.
Right. One faces east, the other. Same. Hell. To hell. I see hell with my right eye.
Exactly.
My co-hosts are on the same page with this running bit, but we're going to talk about people that were not on the same page because we get our tag team match of the evening, Mariah May and Timeless Toni Storm. Commentary reminded us that Mariah May is a Tony winner, T-O-N-I, award recipient, so that is fantastic. Taking on the team of the virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo and La Mera Mera herself, Thunder Rosa. I love
oil and water.
So fantastic.
I am so mad. I am so mad that this match was so short.
Yes, right? Me too.
Yeah.
From
first punch to thing, it's right under 7 minutes. It's like 6:55 or something.
And
like
the Jericho hook is still going on. So
right.
That was so.
And we've talked about this. I don't know if the women get stuck in these middle matches and when someone's run long and they have to change their plan, and then it always feels like they get heady or they rush or something's not quite right, or hey, cut to this, jump to that. And I don't know if this was a victim of that or if it was oil and water, like we said, or I know they're all capable of so much more. I just feel like they just stumbled in the way that this was booked.
The thing that infuriated me the most, and like I said, I was hot today. So when this match only went like 7 minutes, I punched the table, right? Because this had two stories going on, right? You had like the mutual hatred of Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa against Toni Storm and Mariah May. But then you also had like this friction going on between Thunder Rosa and Deonna. And it just like, it would have been so, if they would have given it 20 minutes, it would have been so good. It would have been so captivating because it was just ramping up. And all of a sudden, 1, 2, 3, it's like, what?
Pardon me, I'm just going to step in here for scheduling. Sorry, everybody. So we're going to start with a women's promo. That's going to run a little bit there. And then we got another women's promo over here. So we're going to have to take some time off your match because that's all the women's time we really have. And then we're going to go over here and make sure that Jericho and Hook go a little longer, too. So if you don't mind, we'll cut a little more out of the match because no one really wants to see women wrestle. They want to see you look pretty on stage and talk to each other and stuff. So we'll just cut that there. Then maybe we'll go over here and we'll cut a little more out of that. Does that sound good? Yeah, no one needs this stuff, even with our big paid free agent. It's kind of terrible.
Bah.
Yeah. And I don't think any fault is on them because they still busted themselves. Tony Storm hitting with that hip attack and then all of a sudden going into a roll up like it was nothing. It was like,
fantastic.
Huh? Yeah. Wait, why? But like you said, like
Mariah May spinning, sidewalk slam.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that was so beautiful. I was like, this is the Mariah May that I've been waiting to see since she came over from Stardom. Like, this is who I know her to be.
There's something Thunder Rosa did. I'm trying to find it on the replay. Oh, Toni Storm hitting her with that German suplex.
Beautiful. Deonna Purrazzo going from that. What the hell was it? It was like a headlock to like to the armbar.
That's what I'm trying to find. Pretty. That was really cool.
That was pretty.
It's almost like she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, it's almost like she knows. It's almost like if you give her time, she excels.
And Thunder Rosa flying.
Oh, that was Luther did the kids in the hall. I peed out the face.
That's his thing.
And they had to explain it to Tony Schiavone. Like, what is he doing to me?
I pinch your face.
Like, I crushed your head.
Every Canadian must have been in love with that moment, I hope. I hope they got that. There's so many cool spots and bits in here, and it just...
Yeah.
They deserved more time, but...
Sure.
And it's none of the fault of these four performers because they did fantastic. I did get up off my couch and yell because I was like, because like you said, Professor, that hip attack into Thunder and then Thunder going in for a roll up to pin your AEW Women's Champion.
Mm-hmm.
But before all this, too, the seeds have been planted because Thunder tagged herself in and Deonna's just like looks at her like,
right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, girl, we gonna do this today? All right, I guess. I'm gonna play nice for now. Deonna was not having it afterwards, too.
How many tag team matches, male, and I'm gonna just call this out, how many male tag team matches where they've put two people that like butt heads against each other have we seen that has been like drawn out 20 minutes and like each one like tagging themselves in like the Samoa Joe Swerve Strickland, you know, and like the one tags in and then it's like a good 5 minutes of them staring off and then one going in, you know, like frustrating.
They need less time because obviously time for the women's wrestlers is like 75% of what the men get. So obviously that's how you meet it out there. So they get like
70. Yeah.
Nonsense.
But, you know, in the short amount of time, they did more to, you know, put themselves over in terms of their stories that they want to tell better than most of the other stories that we got throughout the rest of the evening. I love the fact that Deonna picked Thunder because she knew Thunder was going to be a good tag team partner, but she wanted to get all the glory. But I mean, this is Thunder Rosa. La Mera Mera is like, Deonna, do we not remember what happened when you faced her 2 years ago back in Impact Wrestling for La Reina Championship? She almost made you lose, girl. I'm excited because this sets up Thunder versus Tony, which is what I've been asking over on Collision to start putting Thunder in a feud of some sort, which seems that we might get her and Tony to be in a feud, which would be fantastic. Then you also have Deonna hanging around in the background for Thunder and Deonna to kind of mix it up too, which I'm also here for. They put themselves over and I need booking to not mess this up anymore because if you pull the stunt with a returning Jamie Hayter, we're going to have words. Anyways, we're going to move on. So we get our open challenge from Swerve Strickland. And out comes Walrus Daddy himself, the Butcher.
He wanted a big guy. I'm surprised it wasn't Wardlow.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm looking at the Butcher and I was like, I just saw you last week. I'm like, did your mustache just like grow an extra 5 inches? Because now it just covers the whole entire top lip. And I was like, Dr. Eggman, is that you?
I miss the monocle. I wish you had the monocle more. It makes me, makes me happy. Say what?
And the apron.
Yeah.
I mean, this was essentially our squash match of the evening. Swerve Strickland and Butcher go back and forth for a couple of minutes. Swerve ultimately pulls out the victory, but it was fantastic.
With a tap out. He's doing his repertoire now.
So happy to see that.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I think Swerve could probably wrestle a mop and look amazing in there.
You wrestle Pac?
Yo, Swerve versus Pac is going to get out of control, and I'm here for it. It's going to get wild.
Butcher took some shots here. Looks like Swerve kind of grazed his head on that stompy thing that he loves to do, but Butcher stayed right in the pocket and took it. There's a few other really cool spots in here that they tossed. I'm trying to find the submission looked weird to me, but I can't find it on my feedback.
They said he didn't lock it fully in. It was the half arm scissor that he was trying to go for. He was going to like wrench the arm back, but he never got it fully locked.
That's why. Yeah. There was something about it that was like, that just kind of looks like, okay, it's over. It's like, okay, all right, fine. I guess so. Swerve falls victim to this again. And I hate it. And I've talked about this on Dynamite. The promos right after a match drive me nuts. Dude's having an asthma attack, trying to get his thoughts together.
Joe, you Jane, gonna throw a bump, you bump face.
Like just trying to say words. That's super hard. And I hate when it happens in real sports. Not that this isn't a real sport, but you know what I mean? In different competition. Swerve kind of falls victim to that. He's trying so hard and he cuts a good promo so he can get by doing this. No one else really can, really. And then Joe comes out and then Joe says things back.
And which basically
out of us.
Yes, yeah, it's like teasing me like we're going to get Swerve and Joe pretty soon. But oh no, because who should rear their ugly bald head into the conversation? But everyone's favorite Canadian, not really, Don Callis.
He was drawing that Dominic Mysterio heat with the Toronto crowd.
Hate him. Yeah.
They were.
Callous chants were insane.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah. And but, Taz commented on it too. Like, you'd think he wasn't Canadian. It's like, oh no, they know he's Canadian. Like, oh, geez.
That's why they hate him. They disowned him and they're letting us know is super fantastic.
I was a little confused by this because Joe says, you want to go right now for the title? Let's go. Callis comes out and says, no, wait, you should do this. And Swerve goes, you're right, I'll do that instead.
Like, and then I'll come back to you, Joe.
But you have the title.
We have to keep them separate. We have to find a way to keep these two separate until we get the end of the match.
But it doesn't make any sense. Samoa Joe was like, okay, let's do it right now.
Did I say it made sense, Professor? Did I say it makes sense?
I thought you would have had your writing hat on and flipping tables by now.
Writer here.
Look, I'm host. I can't be angry writing Mikey tonight, okay?
We're Spicy Chorizo Mikey. Spicy Chorizo Mikey would have been so upset about this.
No, don't get me wrong. It's a quiet rage tonight because I am a host and I am being professional about it because I got to lead the conversation.
He's more like Mikey Hemingway.
But here's the thing, though, Mikey Professor. Hopefully I don't meet the end like Hemingway. But that's another conversation. Thanks for putting that out in the universe. Anyways.
Why? I mean, come on.
So here's the thing.
Much more of a Walt Whitman.
Initially, I hated this. But then once I figured out what we were getting, I was like, okay, I kind of take it back. Because if we're getting Takeshita and Swerve next week, I'm like, I hate how we're keeping Swerve away from Joe, but Takeshita versus Swerve
at the same time,
banger. It's going to be a banger. It's going to be fantastic.
Banger.
Another fantastic match coming to Dynamite.
So fantastic. And it's nice to see Takeshita get back and, you know, pick up some wins and have a good time after losing to Will Ospreay at Revolution, which was also a banger of a match. It was fantastic. So Joe and Swerve continue to be ships that pass along in the night, destined to crash into each other one day, but not now. Then we get into our main event for Dynamite, which was just like out of nowhere. I was just like, ooh. All right.
So out of nowhere? Main... You thought this was out of nowhere?
I mean, they did promote it last week.
They have been talking about it for a while.
You know what I meant. You can't curse because I'm trying to be a good boy.
You can't break your own rules. Ha ha.
Listen here. Listen here, you kumquats.
Oh, that's what it is now. Put the word in another word when you call them a word. I see what you did there.
Also setting up what this match is. They weren't going to break the rules they set for themselves, which were pretty big, even though Christian did that as he invited everyone down later. So
that's kind of right. But it was an I Quit match, so there was no rules. So
yeah, and a man had his blanks blank out all over his blanks, and nobody said blank about it.
Everyone kind of destroyed my lead in as Christian and destroyed each other in this match. But our main event for Dynamite was the TNT Championship in an I Quit match. Adam Copeland, the challenger, versus Christian Cage, the champion. This was an overbooked mess, but I enjoyed every single minute of it for the most part.
I thought this was a blast. I put this on my... This is the first match in 3 weeks I've put on my short list to review for match of the year just for stuff that happens and intrigue and passion and everything else and some of the spots. There's a few things that I thought other promotions might have done better or have done better in the past. I think Sammy and Kevin did the hockey jersey thing a little better. I think this one was a little contrived for sure, but you know, throwing Christian into a goal and then eventually crushing each other with hockey sticks. I thought that was a great nod to the Canadia.
I laughed so hard when Christian Cage went to escape from Copeland into the women's restroom, which was hilarious.
All these women running the other way.
Running like,
he drank someone's beer. That was just a fan. Drank his beer, kept going. I thought that was a lot of fun. The blood took me by surprise just because he looked like he caught a former scar and it just went bright pink and all over the face, which was pretty honorable. Lots of great spots in here that were super fun. So I enjoyed watching this for sure. I think this is how you go into the crowd and make it interesting. And for some reason, not everyone can do this. Edge and Christian do this and it works. Other matches, they go, oh no, they're in the crowd. And it just kind of falls flat. And that's for another podcast, how they figure this out. All those moments where that Christian does the ankle toss thing into the ladder and then Edge does it throwing him off the stage. Like there was a split second there where I was like, oh, that's a broken leg or three. And he's okay. Like there were so many good spots in here. I had fun watching it.
Go ahead, JVL. You've been sitting there on my spot. Go ahead.
No, I definitely enjoyed everything that was brought up at that point. I also enjoyed once we had the schmoz going on, as Nick Wayne's being tossed out of the ring, he clips Luchasaurus in the head with his heel. And then Daddy Magic had to set him back up to take the next bump because Luchasaurus was wobbly and couldn't stand up. It was
Looked like it hurt a lot,
quite a bit. And we had Mother Wayne being afraid of being handcuffed, which was quite funny. I did write down, oh come on, Tony Schiavone, here comes the woman.
Oh God, that's right.
I almost threw things at my television. I was just like, oh. How dare you?
I did like, though, as much as this is also the most verbose I Quit match I've ever listened to, where they like have like beams of lines to say and like
they did.
Like, I've never heard it go that far. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, and I agreed with Ollie Davis on this. This could have been a TLC match, which would have hit the nostalgia button harder and not have to be an I Quit match.
Yeah, I know.
The crowd was calling for it. They chanted TLC for a good 60 seconds in the middle of this, and everyone knew what was coming. So,
bro, if Becky and Nia can do a somewhat TLC match in their last woman standing match, AEW, y'all could have did something, especially capitalizing on Christian and Copeland's history. But I thought this was a fun I Quit match. It was overbooked. It was messy. It was kind of kinky in some bits because of the handcuffs. I thought this was fantastic, though. And I love seeing Daddy Magic and Daniel Garcia come out to even the odds because now they're Copeland's friends, I guess.
But yeah. For Adolfo, how long? You were invested, Adolfo, weren't you?
So, well, all right. This match made me feel like it was 1982 and I was watching Saturday Night Main Event. Like, this was, you know, because like back then in the 80s in the WWF days, you know, this is like textbook that, where like they had the heel faction, the heel team just keep winning and winning and winning. And like, you know, little Adolfo, his heart would be broken because, you know, the Iron Sheik would keep winning and he's like, oh, come on, you know. But then like that one night, the good guys win and they win big. And it's just like, yay, you know, and I felt like a little kid again. You know, I reveled when Nick Wayne, Luchas Killswitch, and Christian Cage got handcuffed and they all got their beatdowns, you know, and I was mad. I'm gonna say this. I was mad when the feed cut. Cage was gonna say I quit. I was so mad. Oh my god. Oh,
did you go back and see what happened?
No, I still
you don't know what happened.
He didn't say it that time.
He didn't say it. You don't know what happened?
Oh no, I don't know what happened.
Adolfo,
fill me in.
But you should go watch it.
I will go watch it. But I felt like a little kid. And you know, no technical highfalutin journalistic integrity stuff. I felt like a little kid. It made me warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. And here we are now.
Yeah. I mean, we saw an attempted murder. And like blatantly,
which is illegal.
We watched an illegal amateur vasectomy happen. Is what we had.
Yeah, like you, insurance probably covers 90% of what just happened to that man. Huh. I mean, that's up there with what was that Stone Cold throwing Rock over the bridge, right back in '99?
Yeah, giant over the building. Yeah, I mean, like yeah.
And like someone in the car getting crushed. More Attitude Era stuff. Like they went for it here. It was a comic book fight at some points, but that just made it so much more interesting and set that bar so high.
Copeland is a champion.
Yeah.
In AEW.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's never been a champion. Edge has been a champion. Adam Copeland.
You are correct.
Because this is Adam Copeland.
Adam Copeland. Lots of blood. Daniel Garcia's covered in Adam's blood. Like, there's blood.
So, this was fantastic. Well, gentlemen, this brings us to the end of Dynamite. So, we got to do. Oh, wait. No, we don't. Because.
What?
No. Because we're not done with Worlds Collide quite yet. We may be done with Dynamite, but we still have an hour of AEW to go. So, we're going to. No, you can never be on top. This is my show. We're running this thing. So you stay where you are, peasant. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
We're going to pay homage to the transition between Dynamite and Rampage. So, ladies and germs and non-binary folks, grab a snack because we're going to be right back. And we're back. Hi.
Grabbed by someone.
Who's touching me? You're the only one in the room. Oh.
So welcome back. That was just a brief little intermission just to be fun. We paid homage to the transitioning that we got between Dynamite and Rampage. And now we have entered into AEW Rampage territory. So we are going to go through this third hour of AEW programming last night. I'm super excited. Rampage has a special place in mine and Adolfo's heart because we get to review it every single week. And let's not waste time.
It's Rampage.
oh, you know, this is actually where some of the fun happens in AEW. And yep. even though we have our complaints, it's only an hour, so we don't really necessarily drag things out a lot long. And to be quite honest, it's where a lot of the women's stories are currently at, and they're probably mm-hmm. some of our favorites right now. Though we did not get an appearance from a certain Cool Hand Ange and Ruby Soho this evening, but I'm excited for when we get back to our regular scheduled programming next week, because that story is fantastic.
I've been told it's the tastier light beer to Dynamite. Is that true?
I mean, it kind of is, because a lot of the fun stuff happens on Rampage, and Rampage also seems to be the place where the Luchadors win, so that's also a bonus.
Fair enough.
But we kick off Rampage with a pre-taped segment with Bullet Club Gold, no longer the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, chilling out poolside in Florida instead of going to Ontario and Toronto and all the Canadian cities for the Canadian tour that they're doing for the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
And basically, they put down the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn talking to, and Darby. There's like a skeleton Darby.
Not going to Everest, and they yep. saved his life.
And the skeleton Darby comes down the
slide.
Is that true then? He's not going to Everest? It's over?
No, he's not. He broke his foot in his match against Jay.
Oh, I didn't hear
that.
That's able to go do it.
It's so actually sad and depressing. I mean, this is what we were expecting.
Dude gave that heartfelt promo. I might not come back. Broke his foot.
And now he's not actually getting to go because he broke his foot.
Ave Maria.
Poor Darby, man. That's nuts. But Bullet Club Gold essentially set this up being like, yeah, we did what we did. I mean, are we surprised by what we did? And I laughed and I'm like, no, we are not. But I loved it anyways. I think my favorite part of this promo too, if you paid attention to the background, I saw a Wild Juice Robinson like walking in the background. Fantastic.
I also enjoyed how the Guns singled out Daddy Ass, you know, and they were like, how of all people, how did you not see this coming? You know, are we gonna have to take you out in the pasture and put you down now? You know, it was like,
Dad,
come on, Dad. You know, it was
enjoy anymore, Dad.
I thought it was a very enjoyable love.
Pretty sure they shot that promo at Dad's house, though. Like, there's no other place that would
yeah.
Mom comes out with drinks.
That would have been pizza rolls.
That would have been hilarious, but I love this. And then this goes hand to hand with what we get next, because on the stage we have the Acclaimed, Max Caster and Anthony Bowens giving their rebuttal, basically saying that the next time that BCG, there's too many acronyms on AEW programming. Okay, next time Bullet
OH
says the VP is it VIP?
I mean. The Acclaimed make themselves let it be known that next time Bullet Club Gold steps into AEW, they better be ready because they're about to destroy them on the spot.
Yeah, Acclaimed had some really good lines in here. Jay White, maybe yeah. the fans are right. You should have signed someplace else. Like, oh, yeah.
We'll send you a ticket back to New Zealand or New Japan or wherever new you want to go.
Yeah. And then they also threw him under the bus too with his, like, what we know, his frustration with the whole MJF storyline is just like, MJF beat you with one good arm.
Yeah. Woof.
Yeah, that was they spat some fire, hot fire, venomous fire.
How long they've been holding on to that, like, because they've been working together so much and like planning that out, like, oh, what can I use here? Can I use that? That'd be fun.
So
I wonder if the promos where we know they kind of sort of get along, I wonder if they're just laughing at how much they can dig each other. Like, how personal can they take it and just see how it feels?
I'm excited for this feud that we're going to get. Eventually, it's going to be for the title. So we'll see what happens. Like, winner take all. I'm smelling it down the road. It's going to be fantastic. We then get our first match on this Rampage portion of our programming this week for AEW. This is a wild card tag team match. The winner of this match earns the wild card spot in the AEW tag team title championship ones. Me and Adolfo already covered the brackets and we already yelled about how we broke these brackets up. But looking at the brackets before this match, the only match that has occurred was the Infantry versus the House of Black from Collision, in which, because of a wild Mark Briscoe, the Infantry were able to beat the House of Black, which we already discussed, and I was torn on because I was happy but upset at the same time. But this is for the second and final wild card spot, where we saw Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta taking on the Don Callis family, which was being represented by Powerhouse Hobbs and your Ring of Honor television champion, Kyle Fletcher. I want to say that.
Go ahead.
I want to remind everyone as to he is your Ring of Honor television champion. This match was fun, but let's just get into why we're really here. I'm going to start with JVL because I want to hear his opinion as my fellow ROH host. How do you feel about, yet again, an ROH champion taking a pin on AEW television?
Adolfo?
Don't you be bringing that into this Rampage review there, Bobby Boucher.
I swear I'm coming from your bottom now.
The match itself was good. It was a good match. I felt, you know, everyone had their spots, but it wasn't a spot fest, at least to me. It wasn't a spot fest, you know. Was broken up really nicely. When I saw the brackets and I saw that it was going to be Trent and the Fruit against the Don Callis family, and then the bracket above them was the Undisputed Kingdom, I was like, oh, Trent and OC are gonna get it, you know. I wish they would have not put the Don Callis. I just bit my tongue and it hurt like a mofo. I wish that they didn't utilize the Don Callis family in this fashion, because you know, Kyle Fletcher is the ROH TV champion. And he has an Ethan Page that is like hounding for that championship. Can we have the ROH TV championship go back to ROH, please? You know, because there were a few weeks there where Kyle Fletcher was defending, you know. But anyway, I'm not, you know, I feel like they could have put a different tag team there, you know. Hell, if they pulled the Infantry up, they could have pulled up like Jack Cartwheel and Serpentico. You know what I mean?
Jack Cartwheel still blows my mind. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't feel that the Don. I don't feel it was a good use of the talent, but the match was really good.
Kyle Fletcher jumping up to catch Orange Cassidy jumping down just tells you just the tiny details and the finesse of these four. And again, how we've talked about here, that Ring of Honor is probably the better product of everything else.
And this spinning, that spinning tombstone?
What is that? I've never seen this before. Is that a thing?
Amazing. That was amazing.
I've never seen that before in my life. Both of them.
Nice.
Like, how did you just killed a man?
Holy, self-censoring myself for the good of the team.
They call it the Owen Hart special.
Oh. Well, you're
on that lovely
you're
note,
in Canada.
Anyways. We're going to move on from that. Orange and Trent win. So then we get our squash match for Rampage, Katsuyori Shibata versus Kevin Matthews. I blinked and it was over. Carry on. I'll be right back.
I'm going to go first. I enjoyed this match because I have not seen enough Shibata. I saw the best of Shibata and I liked it. And it didn't drag on. It was long enough. Shibata, it was like, it was like watching, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but this has happened to me just like maybe one or two times where, for example, there was this one time, where we had a leaking pipe in the house, right? And tried to fix it hours, tried to fix it. Right. And this like old Polish plumber that was a friend of mine. He said to call him, right. This dude came in and he just like, he was a plumbing whisperer. He just came in. Watching him work was just enchanting. And this is plumbing, right? Yeah. And he just like, boop, done and out. You know, this was the Shibata match. He came in. Sure. It was just like artistry and then out. And it was beautiful.
Yeah. Kevin Matthews looked like a bad guy from the early 90s wearing that neon yellow techno, whatever. I guess a local who just got signed or just somebody who's new to the roster got baptized by Shibata. Those forearms to start this thing, 6 or 7 of them right on the jaw, neck, face, like, and I'm going to rearrange your neck. Good night. Fun, short, like we talked about, like we already mentioned, I agree with you. I wouldn't want something like this to lag on, but just if anything feeds the mystique of Shibata, like that guy's a beast. Ogre, massive pecs, like dude's going to come out and hurt you. Let's move on. Like, oh my God. It's fun. I enjoyed it.
This is why Shibata was pure champion. This is why Shibata is renowned in all the damn circles, is because he's not going to finesse you to death. He's not going to jump around you and do a bunch of flips. He's going to break you apart, knock you in the carotid artery, and beat the living crap out of you. And you got that as quick as possible. Establish him back up because he was embarrassed by Wheeler Yuta in the pure championship match that we got. We need him strong to take on Ospreay. You can see he's going to wreck him.
I miss Shibata. I'm so happy that he's back. So we quickly cut backstage. Copeland and friends are celebrating.
What the heck was this?
I mean,
all at least I knew Adam Cole
was getting drunk with Edge.
I hope you are all of age.
Dante Martin's like, I'm not drinking at all.
It's like they, I have it right here. They only have 2 bottles. There's 7, 8, 9 people here. And then Edge ends the promo early. He's like, great, here's the bottle. Cool, I'm going to leave now. Like, and the camera cuts and it's over. It's like, that was a
worst little messy. Castle.
I mean, everybody's partying hard in Canada. So that was fun.
Yeah.
We move on.
I don't know. I think Edge was also like, I'm covered in blood. Can we go now? Like, I'd like to clean up my face. Yeah.
Like, I want to go sleep now. I want to go night-night. I want to go to bed.
The champagne burns my head.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's like, oh! But we move on from the celebration into our semi-main event because, you know, Rampage is only an hour. We get into it with Kenosuke Takeshita taking on Rocky Asukar Romero.
Yo!
Match was good. I loved it. It was great.
Let's get this out of the way. Takeshita won. All right. However, when I saw this on paper, I thought this was going to be maybe 5 minutes. These two put on a feast for your eye. Rocky. Oh, my. Wow. Wow. You know, and again, maybe it's because he was working with Takeshita and Takeshita knows how to work with people. But yo, this was definitely one of those matches that even though Rocky lost, he won because at least in my eyes, he got over in this match.
When you can make Takeshita look slow.
Sure.
Yeah, and
Go ahead.
He had to catch it on the ropes like a few times where I was like, oh my God, is Rocky Romero going to beat Takeshita before he goes and fights Swerve Strickland?
That's what Danny Magic was alluding to.
Yeah.
About 3 or 4 minutes in the middle of this. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Prof. Go ahead.
Go ahead, John. Oh, me? Back to John. I've never... What is that? They called it sliced bread thing? What was that? I was like, that was weird look. I mean, weird looking in a beautiful way. But like, what in the hell are you doing? That was super cool. Rampage, I saw two or three things I'd never quite seen before. The exchanging of kicks, where Takeshi just gets on the ground and goes, go ahead, kick me. Bang. All right. And then snaps him down and then forearms him instead. Like, oh, let me... Rocky looked super strong. You're right about Takeshita. It's like you made Takeshita look slow, which is weird for me to say out loud, even. Great spots, even when they went out to the, outside the ring. Takeshita aided into that barricade at that one point. Like, ooh, that looks like it destroyed you a little bit. There's lots of fun spots in here. This was great. I, not knowing who this Rocky fellow is, the crowd was cheering for him. Like, they were juiced, so...
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Dare I say, Rocky Romero, for a little bit, made Takeshita look clumsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was way too smooth and way too clean. It was crazy to watch.
Yeah.
At the same time, Takeshita also made your classic blunder of all time. If you've played any wrestling game throughout the entirety of wrestling games, and you hit something like the Friday Night Special, which he had to force his arms out to get down, and they're like, no, I'll do a little more damage, and they'll stay down longer, and you pull out the Blue Thunder Bomb. That's the revive button. You don't do that because they kick out of it.
Yeah.
You know this by now.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, but and we had this conversation on the last Rampage review, but those Blue Thunder Bombs look so beautiful. Yeah, oh so my God. Just a
just give your opponent energy to kick just, out. Like,
I know. It's so frustrating. And we planted the seeds now because Takeshita jacked his hand up when he punched the one of the softer parts of the ring, the iron post. So now we have that seed planted,
which made a tasty sound. That did not sound good. It's like, whatever that.
And you know, Swerve Strickland saw that he's like a shark in water next week. He's just going to be like,
well, it sets up for his submission finisher, which is that short arm, you know, half crab there. He's going to be doing so.
Yep.
Continuity. Weird.
Plot crazy, line. Right?
Storytelling, written psychology.
That's Rampage.
Good
That's
news, Rampage, everyone.
That's Rampage. I'm going to be, as I love the I Quit match for the spectacle of it, but if we're talking just a wrestling perspective, this was probably my match of the whole entire 3-hour block for me. And this is the, this is what we normally get on Rampage. We get some really fun matches, and I'm like, why? Dynamite. Okay, never mind. You know what? I'm not going to complain because Rampage is fun to watch. Which then leads into our main event. We have a street fight between Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale taking on Julia Hart and Chris Statlander. I'm just going to put this out there: Julia with a big win, pinning Chris in this match, which is fantastic. That is how you get your younger talent to enter the next stratosphere of, you know, the wrestling hierarchy. But holy Toledo, sweet dragoon on a cracker, these four women killed it. And even though this match was only 12 whole minutes, oh my goodness, the women extreme matches we get on Rampage have never disappointed me. Never.
I had to pause this match and text Alice, because I know if I texted the group chat, people would be like, spoilers, right?
And is that like, what we, do we do that?
I think speech impediment. Jesus, come on.
And you ask her, I'm texting her, I'm like, oh my God, this match, oh my God. I was flipping out, and I'm still just like, I want to go rewatch this match. It was amazing.
Statlander's back after that power bomb.
Oh, And Julia, like each time Julia went into a table and into a chair, when Stat tossed her in that chair, I'm like, you're going to hurt her again. You're going to break
That's
her.
Where I went. I was like, you just came back because of a brain and a concussion and a thing. You're taking open shots, open kicks to the head. The chair one looks scary.
Super scary.
It actually looks really safe.
Oh, and
it's terrifying, but it's still like, oh, she's cradled. She's not. Okay.
What about the chair before the chair thing? Willow hit the move ahead of time and they had to scramble to keep her in the chair to take that bump. And then Willow hit her in the head again. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And then Sky dropping Willow on the announcement table. And then Sky and Willow going through two tables. Are you kidding? And then
Sky bleeding out everywhere.
Yo. And then Sky coming out with the bag attacks. And then Chris being like, bet. And coming out with her own bag attacks. And then getting tossed into those tacks.
The camera.
And then the mouthful of tacks on a sidekick.
That's one of the scariest things I may have seen in a match like this. Again, like I said, three things I've never seen before. I've never seen tax in mouth and kick to face. Remarkable.
The only other time I've seen that has been Mick Foley.
Yep.
Really? When is Mick only do other? That?
He. I can't remember.
I can look it up, but that's,
I can't remember.
I mean, that sounds like something to do.
Yeah, it was one of his Mankind matches. But that was the only other time that I saw that. And yo, like I,
yeah.
Of course, what you don't notice also, and you notice at the end of it, when Sky Blue is like being dragged off the table to go to celebrate, when she hit Statlander with that powerbomb, her knee pad was down. So her entire kneecap is covered in tacks.
They're
not coming out as she moves. So those are in deep into bone. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
It looked like Statlander, I'm trying to find it. Statlander landed that 540 onto the chair and both her knees land first on the chair.
Yep.
Yeah. She's and even like, the announce table does the same thing. Like, that was her knees. Yeah, that probably hurt. Like, knowing full well that she's going to be walking funny for a few days.
Yeah. It wasn't just one chair. It was two chairs that were like on top of each other. And she, this match, like Rampage was entertaining, but this match to me, and I might be alone on this island and I give zero penguin farts, self-censoring myself.
Penguin farts even.
But
smoothies.
This match elevated Rampage. This match was just like, okay, I see this is an average. Here, get on me. I got you. And just lifted this to a fantastic, fantastic show. I keep seeing that meme. Oh, you know, what wrestling show would you show a non-wrestling person to make them right? And I've never like really could put a finger on one. This show, this episode of Rampage, I would show to my non-wrestling fans and be just like, watch.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Both of them turn to Adam Copeland and Christian Cage and just go, anything you can do, I can do greater.
I got a feeling of, this is also on my short list for 2024, things to rewatch to look at match of the year, like top three and five for sure, because it was just ridiculous. I agree. The cameraman, that's what I was going to say. The cameraman that was in the right position when Sky Blue had bladed herself, and you just see her a full horror movie come up.
Yes.
It's like bonus points on that cameraman. I couldn't help but feel like this was a message sent to creative and management and everything else that happened in Dynamite, and sort of a call to Mercedes Moné and a call to all the other women to be like, hey, by the way, we are worth it. We will bring it, knowing full well the other match on Dynamite got hack and slash, like knowing, all right, girls, we got 15 minutes. Let's shake the world. So they went and did crazy stuff, and they did it just as good, if not better, than the male competitors.
Yeah.
Like Christian and Edge were fantastic. I loved it. It's on my short list. I saw this and went, wow, there's four of them. They did just as much, if not more, in a smaller contained space without the permissions that I'm sure Edge and Christian got to go into the arena and go here and go there. And here's this prop and that prop and this thing. Give them tables and tacks. Go. And a spike. There was a spike.
Mikey, I gotta ask. Did this give you flashbacks to, say, Daly's Place and a certain the Bunny and Penelope Ford versus Ty Mello and Anna Jay, and how much that broke the mold and it took them this long to get back to it?
Seriously. Can I also just point out, too, that every single thing that we've had in a hardcore or extreme rules type of like match for any women on AEW program within the last couple of months somehow has always had Willow as a participant in it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I make her the queen of like the extreme matches. Like, let that be her
smile core.
Smile core.
Smile core. It's a good phrase.
If I'm going to be honest, too, of how much I love the women doing, you know, brutal things, this was very close to giving me that first initial, like, oh my gosh, women are amazing. Like, they can do crazy matches better than the men like this, because it also gave me hints and shades because of who was involved, or it gave me the same feeling I got when I watched that Lights Out Britt versus Thunder match too, because that's what started the whole AEW journey for me. I turned on my television on a random day. That was my very first match introducing me to the worlds of All Elite Wrestling, was that Lights Out match between Britt and Thunder. Hmm. And I have not let go ever since. This was a fantastic main event. These women killed it. The women never disappoint when it comes to these extreme type of matches in AEW. Oh, yeah. They haven't missed, and it was fantastic. And again, like I said, Julia and Sky pick up the win here, but a big win for Julia, as I said, man. Like, I'm excited to see what comes next for Willow and Julia, because we still have unfinished business there. And then I'm also thinking to myself, are we going to see a Chris heel turn? Because she's tried to do it her way, and now she'll probably be more than willing to start listening to Stokely, who has been trying to get to Chris to listen to him for the last couple of months, but Willow has been that one person who's kind of like not allowed Stokely to do so. So with Chris always being on the losing end of her team and losing her matches, I'm excited to see what it was. And this is how Rampage goes off the air this, you know, week, which was interesting. Now comes the hard part. We got to rank both Dynamite and Rampage into one. So for a 3-hour block of AEW programming, on a scale of 1 to 10, how did we feel about these 3 hours of AEW programming?
This is hard because, in my opinion, 1 is a 6 and 1 is pushing 9. So it kind of, there's some matches. If you cherry picked, like, this is probably a 9 out of 10. If you just kind of organized this and had the gold in there for more than that. That Edge and Christian match is going to be in my brain for a long time. This match between all four of them are going to be in my head for a long time as well. I feel like I give a lot of 8s, and I don't want to keep leaning on that solid B-minus thing. But this is where that lives to me. Some of the promos kind of fell flat for sure. Way too much Chris Jericho, the women getting hosed on Dynamite. I'm taking points away on that, because it's not their fault at all, and that drives me crazy. So this is in that 8-5 range for me out of 10, if we're looking full 10 in bananas.
So for me as a whole, I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 empanadas. I will say, though, I must not conform and break these into two separate shows, because that damn Rampage is my first 10 out of 10 filth, foreign filthling Rampage of the year. 10 out of 10. That Rampage. Wow. Take that.
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
Adolfo not following the rules. We love it.
It'd be nine out of 10 for me watching it, just checking in randomly on a Rampage, which Rampage looks fun and great. Why is Dynamite not doing what Rampage does?
Because you have 1 hour on Rampage to get the audience's attention and to maintain it for an hour.
Yeah, but in Rampage, you have 2 hours, and sometimes you don't even do it then.
What we've learned for Rampage is like where all the fun, silly, and wild matches end up happening, which I don't know if that has to do with I don't know why Dynamite doesn't echo that format, because
it's the serious show.
I was about to say, I feel like Dynamite wants to be like a serious, like Monday Night Raw type sitch, you know? Which is fine.
It's lost the flavor of what AEW was to be more. It's the more WWE style show they have.
Yeah.
Which doesn't work. And that's why it's been having a complete, like, crisis of, you know, what it is.
I'm going to make us a lot of people upset on the internet before I give my rating, but, you know, it's a fair comparison. Dynamite is, you know, the equivalent of Monday Night Raw. Collision is the equivalent to SmackDown, but a little bit better. And Rampage is going to be equivalent to NXT, which I'm okay with, because NXT is also of the three WWE brands where all the wild things happen in NXT and tends to be a lot of better.
Yeah. JBL, what's your, your learned ...ness of empanadas.
3 hour block.
Hit it.
Of AEW programming.
I'm also going to follow my power top above me and split the thing into two, because I can't, in good faith, attach a great show from Rampage to Chris Jericho's Black Hole of Society. So, no. It would have been a 7.5 Rampage for me, but I knock it down because of Jericho and because how the women were treated in a lot of different ways, even though they kind of...
You mean Dynamite?
Yeah, sorry, Dynamite. That's what I'm trying to say. Sorry about that. Dynamite, I have to block it out. That's what I'm saying. Rampage was extremely fun. Rampage had a lot of great things, but it has not touched ROH in anything for me. I gave a 9.75 to a ROH about a month ago, and it was the perfect thing. You talk to Adolfo about what you should show your non-wrestling friends. That was the one that I would. This was a high, solid 9. Tonight it was a 9. There were a few things that were a little off, but it did not touch the pure fun and joy you get from ROH at all times. So I can't give it that at all, but it has converted me that when I can find the time, when it's on Friday night, I need to watch it more often and not just comment on your live streams and tell you how awesome you are. So that's where I've got to be.
See, then you can jump in on the live stream and be like that random guest that I keep saying.
Be allowed? I don't think Mikey wants me on more shows, so it's okay.
No.
I never said that. Why are you putting words in my mouth?
You told me to shut up, peasant.
When the boss is away, I run the show.
What Adolfo is trying to say is that you would add more than I ever do. I'm just kidding.
You're taking it out of yourself, Mikey. You're just flopping all over here. Pick a lane and just make fun of somebody, but make it like a consistent thing here.
Nah, it's okay. I'll go last.
Yep.
I actually am going to follow the rules because, you know,
hey, I followed the rules before they broke the rules.
Bottom.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be the straight man, which is ironic coming from me.
That's really funny. Yeah, keep going.
Hi, I'm not the theater person in this quadrant of people right now. But if I'm combining Dynamite and if I'm combining Rampage, I'm going to, you know, average it out, as that's what I normally do for a living anyways. So I'm going to average the two out. I am going to give Dynamite a 7. I am going to give Rampage a 9. So this averaged out to my final empanada score of an 8. For 3 hours of AEW programming, I thought this was a lot of fun. And this was a Worlds Collide, a one-time thing for right now for the year, because next week, Rampage and Collision will be back in their normal scheduled spots.
But hey, didn't they just show the other company that this is how you do 3 hours of television? You break it up, you make it its own thing, you give it the last hour as like the last hour of fun. What? How could that work?
Okay, but like, to be completely honest, and me and Minnie review Raw, we actually really enjoyed Raw this week. It was fantastic. Becky and Nia killed it in the last Woman Standing match. It was fantastic.
But I gotta watch SmackDown. But now I want to go hang out on the live stream for Rampage.
You can always tune in and put us around on background noises. We're gonna be live this. Well, I will be live.
There's the plug. There you go.
I will be live next week because Adolfo is going on vacation. So, boys, if anyone wants to join me, for a Rampage live stream review, you are more than welcome to do so.
If the professor comes to ROH, I'll go to Rampage.
All right, we're going to be making some deals. We're going to be signing some contracts in the background. But you know what? with that being said, we're going to get up on out of here because we got some business to take care of. So we got some contracts to be signing to get people to cross promote and to come over and cross the line, so to speak, to other wrestling shows. I already did all the housekeeping at the beginning. So from myself, the professor, JVL, Adolfo, in this hopefully not the last time worlds collide in AEW, but for right now, we do got to say goodbye. But until the next time, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic. You deserve to finish your story. But as always, we love you, we support you, and just so you know, we'll see you for the next one. Laters!
Billy Stark's outro!